Hello and welcome to this week's edition of BuzzHub's Box Office Buzz. I'm your host, Lucian. And this week I'll be bringing you the US weekend box office results for the weekend of November 21st, 2013, as well as all the latest movie news. Welcome along. Thank you for downloading or tuning in to this episode. Last time I was with you, it was the weekend which saw the release of Marvel's Thor: The Dark World, which of course had a very big opening weekend in the United States. And I'm going to begin now with the box office results for last weekend, November 17th, the weekend ending November 17th, because of course we are fortnightly, so I didn't do an episode last week. So it was quite a weekend for Malcolm D. Lee's comedy sequel, The Best Man Holiday, which reunited the entire cast with the original 1999 hit to have an impressive weekend, showing off an estimated $30.5 million in just 2,024 theaters, which was roughly 87% of the total gross of the original movie, proving that it had found most of its audience on DVD and cable. That movie's success was already quite impressive for its time, since Lee hired the likes of Morris Chestnut, Ty Diggs, Regina Hill, Terrence Howard, and Harold Perrineau fairly early in their careers, and then convinced them all to return 14 years later for the sequel. Now, I didn't see The Best Man Holiday, I haven't even seen the original film, but I am a fan of Harold Perrineau from his work on Lost, and Terrence Howard from his work in, well, lots of things, so I will try and catch it probably when it comes out on DVD next year. Still, it failed to dethrone the previous week's number one movie, Thor: The Dark World, starring Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Natalie Portman, Nothing Happens, and Christopher Eccleston, as it dropped 55% to remain on top with $38.4 million. Its domestic total of $147 million already at 81% of the total gross of the original Thor after just 10 days. Internationally, the movie added another $52.5 million, so its international gross of $333 million is still surpassing domestic by 2-1. With a worldwide gross currently at $480 million, it's already surpassed the amount made globally by its predecessor. Now, this report was as of last Monday. I'm recording this on this portion of the episode on Friday. You'll be hearing it on probably next Monday, the upcoming Monday. So I'd say that gross will have gotten a lot bigger by the time that comes around. But I'll be giving you, at the end of this episode, I'll be giving you the results for this big Catching Fire weekend that's coming up. Brazilians got to be the first country to see The Hunger Games Catching Fire last weekend. A week earlier than the rest of the world, the movie grossed $6.5 million over the holiday weekend, more than double the $3.2 million Brazilian opening of the original. Catching Fire opens in North America this weekend. Las Vegas swapped spots once again with Free Birds as it went back up to third place with $8.9 million, sporting the smallest drop in the top 10, down just 20%. Free Birds in turn dropped to fourth place with $8.3 million, with $42.2 million grossed after 3 weeks in theaters. Bad Grandpa still proven to be a huge hit, and though it dropped down three places to five, its $7.7 million weekend gross brought its total to $90.2 million. Gravity remained in sixth place. Ender's Game was dropped to seventh. 12 Years a Slave dropped 33% that weekend, despite adding 267 theaters, and fell to eighth place with a total gross of just under $25 million. And rounding out the top 10 were Captain Phillips and Richard Curtis's About Time. So that's last weekend's box office. I'm now going to spend a short while going through all the movie news from the last 2 weeks. Try not to spend as long as I did last time. That last episode went on for quite a while, but partially due to my Thor and Gravity reviews, I do not have any reviews to do at this time of recording, because I haven't actually seen any new releases since Gravity. I was going to see Catching Fire this week and Saving Mr. Banks, but I was busy and I was unable to attend the screenings. I'm going to try and see Catching Fire before the end of this weekend, but I probably won't be able to to review it until the next episode. I was very sad to miss out on Sinister Banks, but once again, it's being released here in Ireland on the 28th, and I'll be seeing it then. So we're going to go backwards with the movie news, starting with today's biggest stories. Alice in Wonderland 2 and The Jungle Book both got release dates. Alice in Wonderland 2 will be coming out May 27th, 2016. It's going to be directed by James Bobbin, who made The Muppets and the upcoming Muppets Most Wanted. I'll be bringing those up again in a moment. The film, of course, made over $1 billion, the first Alice in Wonderland. I really, really didn't like the film. I think it's Tim Burton, I think, is one of the most overrated film directors of all time. And I think that Alice in Wonderland was probably his worst film, at least one of his two or three worst films. I don't really like any of his films except for Beetlejuice and maybe Edward Scissorhands. So I really didn't like the original Alice in Wonderland, and I'm not looking forward to the sequel, despite Bobbin's involvement, purely because Johnny Depp is a Mad Hatter. I don't want to sit through that again. I didn't really like Mia Wasikowska in the lead role. So if James Bobbin brings on a whole new cast and does a really quirky, interesting, completely un-Tim Burton version, I'll be first in line. Jungle Book is going to be directed by Jon Favreau. I think that was breaking when the last episode was recorded, maybe a bit beforehand. And that's coming out October 9th, 2015. And of course, based on the classic Rudyard Kipling novel. Story, whatever. This is a biopic of J.R.R. Tolkien, writer of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, which is in the works at Fox Searchlight, which is interesting news, I feel. I don't know when it'll be coming out, but David Gleason is reportedly writing the screenplay. Aaron Paul, of course, Jesse Pinkman, yeah, Magnets, bitch. He joined a drama, called Fathers and Daughters, starring Russell Crowe and Amanda Seyfried, directed by Gabriel Muccino. Some of the big 2014 for-your consideration sites have been going up with the various studios, Warner Brothers. We have a lovely article about it up on BuzzHub with all the categories. Some interesting things there. I know Universal are putting Oblivion. They're trying to get a Best Director nod for Joseph Kosinski. Now, Oblivion is one of the most mediocre films I've seen all year. I think it came out a while before we started this podcast, so I never got to review it on here, but it was not a good film. It wasn't a bad film, it was just so boring and cliched. This director nod for Joseph Kosinski sounds like an absolutely ridiculous thing to expect. Some of the Warner Brothers ones they're looking for, though, I'm quite pleased with. I think, some of the acting ones are interesting. Great Gatsby, Best Actor, DiCaprio, Best Actress, Carey Mulligan, Best Supporting Actor, Tobey Maguire, Joel Edgerton, and then Amitabh Bachchan. I have a feeling that guy was only in the film for about a minute and a half, so don't know what's going on there. And Best Supporting Actress, Isla Fisher, Elizabeth Debicki. I liked Elizabeth Debicki's work in the film, but Isla Fisher, once again, barely in it, and I don't like Isla Fisher in general. They're also putting Gatsby up for three original songs, Young and Beautiful, $100 Bill, and Over the Love. Now, I don't know if it was an original song, but the one that Kanye and Jay-Z did with Frank Ocean was a really great song. No Church in the Wild. That was a fantastic song. Maybe it wasn't an original song for the film, but that was in the trailer and in the film, and that was just a really great hip-hop song. I loved it. Man of Steel being put up for Best Picture. What a joke. Never going to happen. And then they have, for Man of Steel, which is kind of weird, they have the actors with all the actors instead of kind of separate categories. It's the only film they've done this for. But they have some people in that list, like Lawrence Fishburne, Christopher Maloney, people you'd barely notice. I mean, Man of Steel, once again, a bad film. I don't like Man of Steel, but if they were even going to pathetically try to get it some award nominations, at least stick to, you know, Cavill, Adams, Michael Shannon, Kevin Costner. Those are the people who, if any, could get something. Russell Crowe. At a stretch. Kevin Costner did some good work in the film. He's about the best person in it. Pacific Rim, once again, the actors. Charlie Day getting an Oscar for Pacific Rim. Doesn't look likely. But I think Pacific Rim, if in a, you know, dream world, getting a Best Picture nomination would, It wouldn't anger me. I did like Pacific Rim. It wasn't great, but I gave it 4 stars when it came out. Prisoners being put up for a lot of awards. Gravity, of course. I mean, I do hope Gravity wins all the awards. It's my film of the year. The short, Aninga. Now, if you haven't seen this, it's basically, if you haven't seen Gravity, this is a mild spoiler, but you've probably seen the film around the web already. In the film, Sandra Bullock at one point makes contact with a person on Earth. And this short film, directed by Jonas Koran, Alfonso's son, co-writer of the film, it's basically just the scene from the other person's point of view. It's really interesting. It's really good. They're putting it up for awards contention, which I think is a good idea. It'd be pretty funny if Gravity got Best Picture and the short spin-off got Best Short Film. The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, of course we haven't seen it yet, but they're putting it up for Best Actor, again, for Freeman, Best Director, Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Ian McKellen, Richard Armitage, Orlando Bloom, Lee Pace, Luke Evans, and Supporting Actress for Evangeline Lilly. If anyone were to get a nomination, I would hope it would be Evangeline Lilly, because I really like her, and I really hope she's good in this film, and I think she will be. Her, which is Spike Jonze's film, once again, I'm really looking forward to this. They're putting Scarlett Johansson up for Best Supporting Actress, which she's only a voice in the film. They're also putting up Amy Adams, Rooney Mara, Olivia Wilde. I wasn't aware they were all in it. And Joaquin Phoenix for Best Actor. And I see here Arcade Fire for Best Original Score. I'm a huge Arcade Fire fan. Although their most recent album, Reflector, slightly disappointing. But in general, I really like Arcade Fire. Great band. If you haven't checked them out, they're a Canadian band. Really, really cool. So those are the for your consideration news there. There were a number of potential titles for the Batman vs. Superman film revealed. I'll just say my favorite and my least favorite. My favorite of, there was about seven. These are not, it's not definitively going to be one of these, but if they were picked one, my favorite would probably be Man of Steel, Black of Night. And the worst of these is definitely Man of Steel, Beyond Darkness. Man of Steel, Battle the Night. Yeah, the two of them, they're pretty goddamn awful. Muppets Most Wanted, 2 trailers for James Bobin's film. This is absolutely one of my most highly anticipated films of next year. Love the first Muppets film. It really was a really great, charming family film. And I think this one is just going to be brilliant. It's got Ty Burrell in it, one of my favorite actors from Modern Family. And these trailers are just really great. You have to watch them, especially the UK trailer, which features the front cover of in some senses, a local paper to me, the Irish Times. I'm friends with some people who write for that paper. It comes on my doorstep. And it's they kind of use the cover for it in the trailer. As far as I know, without the paper's permission, some journalists have actually said they just kind of went ahead and used it. But it's pretty funny. If you are Irish, I think they go to Dublin in the film, which is rare to see Dublin in a big Hollywood film, especially one that's any good. Doug Liman has lined up to direct a film called El Presidente with Tom Cruise, although Tom Cruise says he will only star if Jack Nicholson joins. And Jack Nicholson, of course, hasn't appeared in a film since, 2010, when he made that really, really awful James L. Brooks comedy called How Do You Know? Simon Pegg confirmed he's on board for Mission Impossible 5, The Amazing Spider-Man, his rumored subtitle called The Rise of Electro, but not confirmed. Dumb and Dumber 2 got a release date, November 14th, 2014. There was a new trailer for Need for Speed with Aaron Paul. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a really cool action film, I'd say. How I Met Your Mother sequel show getting a pilot. I know it's TV. I'll skip past it. Javier Bardem is rumored for the role of Blackbeard in this Peter Pan prequel that Joe Wright is going to be making. Fox's Almost Human kicked off, the new J.J. Abrams show with Carl Urban. I really liked the pilot. The pilot had a really cool atmosphere, loads of very impressive special effects. The second episode, it had themes of kind of the sex industry, which I just didn't really enjoy watching, but still, it's got really good world building. Although the special effects in the second episode were seriously cheaper than in the first, it was really noticeable. Paul Feig is planning a spin-off of The Heat. I really like The Heat. You'd know that if you've been listening for a while. A trailer came out for Darren Aronofsky's Noah. It was a pretty interesting trailer. I wouldn't say a good trailer, but it was interesting. Check that out on BuzzHub. Chris Pratt is reportedly set to replace Josh Brolin in Jurassic World. Can't imagine those two actors being seen as kind of interchangeable. Wes Anderson has a new short film online called Castello Cavalcanti, tie-in with Prada. Jason Schwartzman stars, of course he'll soon be seen in Save Mr. Banks, and Anderson's film The Grand Budapest Hotel opens on March 7th, and I'm very excited for that. Mission Impossible 5, which I mentioned a minute ago about Simon Pegg, opening Christmas Day 2015, although it is directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who made the really bad Jack Reacher last year. Really didn't like that film. 50 Shades of Grey, pushed back to February 2015, it'll now be opening. This was kind of, I think I sent this as a tweet. So, 50 Shades of Grey, of course, was originally supposed to open opposite Guardians of the Galaxy in August next year. So, my tweet was, so, the most highly anticipated sex drama of all time will no longer be box office competition for a science fiction film featuring a gun-toting raccoon and a talking tree, but will instead be opening the same weekend as a film about an animated sponge who lives in a pineapple next door to a octopus called Squidward. I think I've made my point. That's a SpongeBob quote for all you non-SpongeBob fans out there. I doubt there are many of you. Trailer came out for Maleficent, which I'm not too excited about, but it's an okay trailer. Check it out. The Hired Writers for two of the Marvel Netflix shows. Drew Goddard will be working on Daredevil. Of course, Drew Goddard is a Lost veteran, my all-time favorite show. And Twilight writer Melissa Rosenberg, who wrote all the Twilight films, she's going to be working on the Jessica Jones show. Twilight films, I like the first one, I like the last one, but Melissa Rosenberg is an absolutely awful screenwriter. The writing in some of those films is just god desperate. Independence Day 2 is pushed back to 2016. Warner Brothers and David Heyman are planning a Temple Run feature film. Temple Run is absolutely my favorite mobile game. And I love National Treasure, love Indiana Jones, don't love Lara Croft. But anyway, I'd say this will be interesting. The Secret Service, Assassin's Creed, Susan Cooper, Fantastic Four, I got release dates. You can read about that on BuzzHub. Grand Budapest Hotel, which I just mentioned, will be opening the Berlin Film Festival. Elizabeth Olsen confirmed as Scarlet Witch, and David Cross will guest star on Community Dungeons and Dragons sequel episode. And that's all the news, and we're back to our last episode. So, that's all the news for this week. After this very, very brief break, I will be telling you how much money Catching Fire made in its opening weekend, as well as the biggest film of the year, Vince Vaughn in Delivery Man.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
This question going into this weekend wasn't whether Lionsgate's anticipated sequel to Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Games' Catching Fire, reuniting Jennifer Lawrence, Liam Hemsworth, Woody Harrelson et al., would open big, but whether it would set or break any box office records. That question was asked even more on Friday, once estimates and projections started being thrown about, and the $70.5 million grossed, including Thursday previews, fell short of the three Twilight Saga movies released in November. The dust has settled, and according to Lionsgate estimates, the anticipated sequel did indeed set a solid November opening record, with $161.1 million, far surpassing the previous record held by the Twilight Saga New Moon, as well as opening higher than both of Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight movies. This also places its opening firmly among the top five openings of all time, behind The Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. This is also in comparison to The Hunger Games' domestic opening of $152.5 million back in March 2012, which at the time was the third highest opening domestically. That's now dropped to number 7. Internationally, the movie is also proving to be far bigger than the original, with the $308 million grossed this weekend in 65 territories, including the US and Canada, being 45% higher than the opening of the original. IMAX had a big weekend between the continued play of Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity in the format and the IMAX opening of Catching Fire, which accumulated $25.7 million in IMAX theaters around the globe, the second biggest weekend in the company's history. Catching Fire accounted for $12.6 million domestically on 347 IMAX screens, a record for the month, with IMAX screenings making up 8 of the movie's top 10 runs this weekend. It added another $5.4 million on IMAX screens overseas to bring its global IMAX total over $18 million. With a new must-see movie opening in theaters, this didn't leave much anywhere for Marvel's Thor the Dark World to go down, as it dropped another 61% to second place with 14.1 million. So far, it has grossed 167.8 million domestically and is expected to pass the $181 million North American gross of the original movie next weekend. That said, it might be a slow uphill battle to 200 million, with Peter Jackson's second installment of The Hobbit opening a few weekends later. The Hunger Games sequel made in 3 days almost as much as the Thor sequel has made in 3 weeks. Internationally, The Dark World added another $24.8 million this weekend, with the movie opening in Italy and Greece to reach 98% of international territories, with $549 million grossed worldwide, 3-1 of which is from international markets. It's already passed the international grosses for the first four movies from Marvel Studios. The Best Man Holiday also took a nasty plunge, down 58% to third place, with $12.5 million over the weekend and 50.3 total. Vince Vaughn's latest film, Delivery Man, opened softly with $8.2 million in 3,036 theaters for fourth place. Bad Grandpa took seventh place with $3.4 million behind Freebirds and Last Vegas in fifth and sixth place. Gravity added another $3.3 million to take eighth place with a running domestic total of $245.5 million. Ninth and tenth place were a close race between two critically acclaimed films, Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave and Dallas Buyers Club, starring Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto, each with roughly $2.8 million. The latter expanded into 666 theaters on Friday, allowing it to move into the top 10 as it brought its total to $6.4 million. McQueen's movie dropped another 39% from last weekend while bringing its own total to $29.3 million. Captain Phillips dropped out of the top 10 and was able to cross the $100 million mark this weekend, the 28th film of 2013 to do so in the United States. Walt Disney Pictures' animated musical Frozen, featuring the voices of Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, Josh Gad, and more, took in $237,600 in its excuse first weekend run at the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles, slightly lower than similar releases given to Toy Story 2 and A Bug's Life in 1998 and 1999. Like both of these movies, Frozen will open nationwide next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, and expected to do very well over the family-friendly movie-going holiday. Stephen Frears' new comedy drama, Philomena, starring Judi Dench and Steve Coogan, platformed in four theaters in New York and LA before expanding wider on Wednesday, bringing in $134,000, or roughly $33,400 per site. That's all the week's box office news, and you can read my review of The Hunger Games Catching Fire on BuzzHub now. So check that out, and see you next time for Box Office Buzz.